Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 245 for April 18th, 2010. The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. Come on and holler back. And the song you're listening to is Babylon of the Orient. When you're gonna holler back. And it's from the Shanghai Restoration Project. Want you to holler back. Want you to holler. Well, welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Hey, I'm glad you stopped by. And upcoming on the co-hosted segment, we're going to take a little excursion out to Southeast Asia. So stand by for that. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for subscribing to the show. If you're a subscriber via iTunes or Zune or one of the other places that you can subscribe. And also, if you are familiar with the Boxy application that you can get on your PC, or if you have a Roku box attached to your television, the Blueberry Network, including this show, is available to you on that device. So you can actually listen to this show on your television. Now, if you'd want to. I think the content here is more designed to be take-along content for when you're driving or if you're at the gym or whatever you're doing, that when you're mobile, you can listen to this very easily. Well, you can check out the website, too, and the website is at www.hometravelagent.net. And once you go over to the website, what you're going to find are all of the past shows up to about 2 or 3 years ago. So we have some archives there. You can go back and pick the shows that you want to listen to, the topics that interest you. There's a tag cloud on the right-hand side of the page so that you can easily find a topic of interest. Click on the tag in the cloud, and you'll be taken to those shows that have been tagged with that word. And there's a place where you can put your email address in there on the right-hand side of the website, and you will get the show notes delivered to you in your email inbox. So try that out. So what we're going to do, I'm going to jump into the ad here. We're ad supported, at least to a little bit. Doesn't even pay the hosting service that I use for this show, but it helps. And the advertisement is by Citrix Corporation. And you know, Citrix has developed the product GoToMeeting. And now think of this, you're on the phone with a client or a colleague trying to explain something visual, maybe a spreadsheet or a PowerPoint. But you know, it can be very frustrating because they can't see what you're talking about. And here's the solution. You can use GoToMeeting to hold an online meeting. You know, it's also very easy. You set up a meeting in advance or start one on the fly. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com and now they see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So now you can show them what you're talking about. Now, GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos. Use that to demo your next cruise booking. Now, I've used GoToMeeting. It's great. I use it during my day job. I usually use it maybe once a week or so. It's very easy to set up. It saves me some time from traveling. You can try it, too. Just go to GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast, and you can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. That's an unlimited online meeting for free for 45 days. So GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Okay, with that, we'll get right into the co-hosted segment of the show, and here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Home Base Travel Agent Show co-hosted segment, and we have Lorraine Romero back after an absence of going on a riverboat cruise. Lucky Lorraine, my gosh. And actually, she's in her mobile studio as well. Welcome, Lorraine.
Hi. Yes, it's good to be back. A week ago today, we were in flight. It seemed like forever with the nine-hour time difference between the West Coast and Amsterdam. We almost returned around the same time that we left, so that was an interesting concept. But it's good to be home. Yes, I am in my mobile studio called Parking Lot in my PT Cruiser this week because I couldn't be at my home studio. But I wanted to make sure that we have our interview with our guest, and I am going to be thrilled to be able to introduce him. His name is Ambrose Brighton. He is the founder and CEO of Red Lantern Journey, and It's a very interesting product, and he's going to be here right now to talk a little bit about himself, what he has to offer for your clients, and how he works with home-based travel agents. Ambrose, thank you again for being on the show. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself and what you have to offer?
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. My company's name is Red Lantern Journeys, and we arrange tours to Asia. So we're a tour operator focused strictly on Asia countries, and that range from India and other South Asian countries like Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan, Tibet, those Himalaya countries where we also do tours as well as treks, and then China, Mongolia, and Southeast Asia countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Myanmar. So quite a wide range of countries there, and we have destination experts for all of the different areas that we work with, and we love to work with travel agents as consultants for them to when their clients are traveling overseas, so that not everyone knows those countries very well, so we can provide that expertise to travel agents, and which can then pass that on to their clients.
Yeah,
sounds wonderful. I was just going to ask real quick, what got you into this area? I mean, it's quite diverse. What got you started?
Well, good question. I'm originally an electrical engineer, and I've had a couple of different careers. Worked at the Boeing company and then in the dot-com industry here in the Seattle area. But went back to school, got a business degree, an MBA, and coming out of that, I had learned of a friend of a friend that was doing a business focused on Africa, similar to our business model, and I thought, I know Asia, and I can do that business model. And I know Asia because I lived in Japan for a couple of years. I was married to an Indian woman for several years, and I'm also a trekker and climber, and have climbed and trekked in Nepal and India. And so I just had the destination expertise, and I just had to learn the travel industry. That was the biggest deal for me.
Yeah, that's a never-ending process.
Yes, it is.
Mary, I know you've been to Thailand and some of these areas. This must sound really familiar to you. What's some of your experience of this wonderful area?
Well, you know, I would agree with Ambrose. It's something that, you know, people should use an expert if they're going to go there for the first time or even subsequent times. There's some tricks to traveling in Thailand that people need to know about. There's places that are very interesting that you may not otherwise go to unless you talk to an expert, and I'm sure Ambrose can expand on that. But I've been to many parts of Thailand, down to Phuket, which is southern Thailand. It's an island, and it was the victim of the big tsunami, unfortunately, a few years ago. And to Bangkok and Chiang Mai and up by Vientiane, Laos, and up by Myanmar, up at Maasai, Thailand. And I've done the elephant tour down the Ping River, and that's a great experience. Chiang Mai is a great experience. And but again, you know, your clients will need the expertise, and I think that's important, especially to get a good first experience traveling in Asia.
Yeah.
And I think you'd agree with me, Ambrose.
Yeah, absolutely. And the different countries, they're so diverse, and even to go from different countries in Southeast Asia, which can be quite close together, they still are quite diverse and offer different things. And so people in my company can help determine the relative value of the different sites to see based on who the clients are and what kinds of activities they like to do, and whether, you know, the eating the local food is a high priority, or going on treks and experiencing the outdoors, or just getting involved in the local culture as much as possible. And so we do mostly private tours and tours for special interest groups. So independent travelers, couples and families and small groups of friends and stuff are our biggest source of clients, and and we design custom itineraries for 90% of them. We have sample itineraries on our websites with prices, but probably 90% of our clients actually customize them for their specific needs, you know, times of travel and kinds of activities that they like to do.
Now, do you set your clients up, and I know the answer to this, but I'll ask you, do you set the clients up with in-country tour guides?
Yeah, so we don't use Western escorts. Since it is we do make tours for independent groups. We just use the local guide in each location. And the guides don't travel with the clients, but they'll have the same guide for an area. So, like, during the time that someone's in Bangkok, they'll have the same guide that goes on all their excursions with them, picks them up at the airport, things like that. But then they'll take them back to the airport, put them on the plane to, like, Chiang Mai in the north of Thailand, for example, and then another guide will meet you up there.
Yeah, I had a personal guide. My wife and I had a personal tour guide up in Chiang Mai, and that was very valuable. I don't think we could have done what we did without our personal tour guide, a guy by the name of Ping, and he was great. He took us all over, waited patiently for us while my wife shopping in a jewelry store, and but
yeah, when I traveled, I'd traveled around the world as a backpacker before, and I always didn't thought that was the way to travel. That's I'm gonna learn how to deal with the local officials and get my visas and buy my own train tickets and plane tickets and stuff like that. And then when I started this company and started to travel in this manner, I thought, oh my God, this is so much easier. And since I'm not going on the cheap so much, and I'm actually have a guide, I'm learning so much more about the culture than I ever did as a backpacker, because I developed that one-on-one relationship with the local guides, and it was quite an eye-opening experience for me when I started this company and actually was, you know, using the products that I was selling.
You know, I would agree. The guides are important. They do clue you in on the local culture and can get you involved to some degree with the local culture.
Yep.
But you know, I would caution people too when they're traveling that you should employ a guide that's trustworthy, because you can go down the street and hire a taxi cab driver in Bangkok.
Yeah.
But you don't know that person's record, and they can end up taking you to places that overcharge you or some places that you actually don't want to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really common scam in any parts of Asia, especially Thailand, is tuk-tuk drivers and taxi drivers may you know, give you a really good rate when you negotiate the taxi fare, but then they're going to take you to these commissioned shops where they'll earn a lot of money if you buy anything. But you didn't really want to go there in the first place, so they're going to take you there. So that can be a problem in many Asian countries.
Yeah, and that
so, Ambrose, what is the process that you screen your guides? It sounds like you have a relationship with your guides and that you communicate with them and you've screened them. How does that work?
So actually, we don't know all the guides that we use. What we do is we work with local tour operator companies, so local agencies, mm-hmm. and they have a pool of guides that they use, and like they may have, like, for example, in Bangkok, they may have 20 or 30 different guides that they use. But all the guides are licensed by the government, mm-hmm. and they have a track record with our agency. And because we're a big client for our agency, they keep really good care of us, and they really value our feedback that we get from our clients in relation to, you know, the different tours and how the guides were and stuff like that. So generally, the guides that are kept busy are the good guides and the ones that we try to use for our clients.
Yeah, that's so important to make sure you get that good experience and find a trusted guide. And then travel agents can do that through you, I know. And that's, you know, that's so important for your clients, because if you send them there, and even if on their own they contract with a taxi driver, and that can be a bad experience and reflects badly on the travel agent. So,
yeah.
Could you give, let's say someone has a client who has never been to Thailand, what would you recommend as a basic itinerary to get someone the taste and the feel of the culture and get them interested in coming back in a future time?
Yeah, sure. So Thailand kind of has three main areas. First is Bangkok, and Bangkok is probably accounts for 80% of the gross domestic product of the country. It's a huge city, and there's just a lot going on there, and there's a lot to do culturally there in terms of visits to the Grand Palace, for example, some of the monasteries and temples and stuff like that, as well as markets and shopping and things like that. Just an amazing variety of things to do, as well as nightlife. Then in the north of Thailand is Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai area, and that's kind of more rural. It's in the kind of the hills of northern Thailand, and there's a lot of local ethnic groups, hill tribes they're called, with a lot of handicrafts and stuff that are done there. So there's lots of really good markets for handicrafts in North Thailand. Then there's also you can also do some trekking up there and do these elephant rides and river rafting and visit the elephant camps where the elephants do like the painting. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that, but it's an amazing thing to witness firsthand is an elephant with their mahout creating these beautiful, beautiful paintings. And then in the south of Thailand is where all of the beaches are and the beautiful resorts and just amazing sea islands that are just sea stacks and stuff like that. So there's that part to Thailand too, which is what I usually recommend is people go to Bangkok first, spend a few days there to see Bangkok and the sites around Bangkok, and then go to the north to get that kind of feel for the culture, and then end their trip in the south at a nice beach resort somewhere.
Yeah, and there's some political unrest going on in Thailand right now with some protests.
Yeah.
I would be confident to say that you can still travel to Thailand, be very safe, just don't go where they're protesting.
Yeah, exactly. Thailand is generally a very safe country, and these protests have been kind of simmering for a few years now, and with some changes in the government as a result, and there's two sides. There's red shirts and blue shirts, and right now the red shirts are the ones protesting. A couple years ago, it was the blue shirts that caused the change in the government. But the protests are very isolated in Bangkok, and tours on these privately guided tours, kind of we do, are running normally, so all the tourist sites are open. Just some of the shopping areas in the center of Bangkok, where some of the shopping malls have been closed. So that's another big advantage of going with an independent tour, is the guides and local tour operator will work with you to make sure that you're not going to be traveling to any of the affected places, and you can avoid them and keep your trip safe.
Yeah, the people in Thailand are wonderful people, and when I've been there, I've always just had the feeling that they were taking care of me when I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. And Asian cultures in general are like that. In India too, the concept of a visitor to their country is our guest is God, is the saying, and they treat you with such utmost respect and thoughtfulness, and so no matter who you are. And that sense of customer service, is especially in Southeast Asia too, is just so good. The hotels are generally really good quality, and this, the level of service is a step above of what you find in the U.S., for example, and really, a 3 or 4 star hotel is probably, a level better than they are in the U.S. just because of the level of service and even quality of rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would agree. That's my experience. I've stayed in hotels that are not too good in Thailand, and I've stayed at the four-star hotels as well. And the level of customer service was good at both, but there's nothing comparable to the four-star hotels in Thailand. And the cost was very good. It wasn't expensive.
Yeah, that's kind of a side effect of these demonstrations and stuff that I've been having over the last couple of years, is that tourism has been down a bit, and so the cost of hotels has also stayed pretty low.
Now, you do conduct tours in Cambodia and Vietnam as well?
Yes, we do. So, and we often do multi-country tours through out Southeast Asia. So Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand is a very typical, 2 to 3 week itinerary. You can visit all three countries in 2 to 3 weeks and get a good overview of what's going on there. So in Cambodia, the major sites are the Angkor Wat temples near the town of Siem Reap. And so amazing and vast complex of ancient architecture and ruins and temples, and just an amazing history of these countries, because a lot of Southeast Asia is Buddhist now, but in Cambodia they kind of flip-flop back and forth between Hinduism and Buddhism, and so you see that in the architecture of those ancient temples. And then Vietnam's quite easy to do too. So the flights in between the different countries are quite short, usually no more than 1.5, 2 hours, something like that. And so it's easy to get from country to country, and and everywhere except Vietnam, it's easy to get a visa. So in Thailand, U.S. citizens don't need a visa. In Cambodia, they do, but you get them on arrival at the airport, and then Vietnam can be arranged either in advance through the embassy, or you can ask a tour operator like me to arrange one for you to get one on arrival.
And I people have an image of Vietnam, probably. It may have changed because of the number of years since the Vietnam War, but the country, and I haven't been there, but I've heard people talk about it, and it's an amazingly beautiful country from what I hear, and they have the most beautiful beaches in the world.
Yeah. So, relatively undeveloped, and although that's changing, and there's some amazing, really high-end beach resorts on some of them now, but still there's some remote ones that are still untouched, and maybe only occupied by a few fishermen and stuff these days. So, Vietnam. I tend to find it's a developing country, and there's a lot of energy there. Just feels like a very entrepreneurial place where, the people realize that, everything about the country is improving. And so it just, when you go there, and especially in the bigger cities of Hanoi and Saigon, you just feel kind of the entrepreneurial energy of things.
Well, this has been a wonderful topic, and we're very grateful that you have been able to come on the show and share it. And Barry, I know that you love the area, and I would like to see how our listeners would be able to get either a hold of you or your company. You have a website, you have a place that you would direct the travel agents to start their search.
Yeah, please visit our website. It's redlanternjourneys.com, and or you can reach us via email at info@redlanternjourneys.com. We're available for giving presentations about these destinations if you're interested at all in something like that. Even in California, my salesperson is going to California later this month, and I'll be there in early June. And so we're definitely would be willing to come to your company and give a presentation, or even other things like that. You can also visit my blog. It's an Asia travel news and commentary blog called, and that's my personal name, AmbroseBittner.com, AmbroseBittner.com. And you can find a little bit more about me there. For example, I'm a mountain climber by hobby, and I attempted to climb Mount Everest a few years ago, and love to give slideshows about that experience as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And thank you again for being on the show. We appreciate it, and we're really hoping that it will perk some business for you. That's always Barry's and mine's goal, is to be able to give additional resources to our listeners and for them to follow up and contact you. That's our goal. Barry, if our listeners have questions for you, what's a good email address for you?
My email is Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And Laureen?
My email address is sharptongued@mac.com, and that is spelled sharptongued at mac.com. Also, I can be found on Facebook, and recently I've posted some of my Amsterdam photos on there. So if you'd like to take a look, look me up at Laureen R, and that's spelled L-O-R-E-N-E-R. On next week's show, we are going to have Tanya Hancock. She is with the Anchorage Visitors Bureau. She is going to give us some information about their Alaska webinar session so that you become an Alaska expert. Yes, it is that time of year. People are flocking up to Alaska, whether it's via land or cruise. So we'd like to be able to help you get prepared for that. And she's going to come on the show next week and be able to tell you how to get some training.
Well, very good, Laureen, and I want to thank you a lot for arranging these wonderful interviews and the wonderful guests that we have. And Ambrose, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Thank you both. Talk to you next week, Barry.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Ambrose, and thank you, Laureen, for doing a fabulous job on bringing these excellent guests on board. I do have two news items, and those news items come from what's happening in Iceland. You know, the eruption of the volcano there has really caused a disruption of travel in Northern Europe. And the first article is from The Independent. It's a newspaper from the United Kingdom. And the ash from this volcano is playing havoc with flights coming in and out of Northern Europe. Now, the volcanic ash can clog jet engines, so flying is unsafe if you get near this cloud of ash. Ryanair has canceled all flights until Monday afternoon, and this is leaving thousands of people stranded. Now, the bad news is that for those people who purchase travel insurance, the insurance companies are saying volcanic ash is an extraordinary circumstance, and the insurance companies are refusing to pay for the insured's extra expense. Now, let me see if I can follow this. Let me see if I can follow the logic on this one. Now, if I buy travel insurance to pay for ordinary events, but I shouldn't expect payment for extraordinary events. So what is an ordinary event that a travel insurance company would pay for? I don't know, I just don't follow that logic. But I mean, what do you buy insurance for? Well, anyhow, the second article is in Business Week Online, and it's reported from Bloomberg. Now, the volcanic ash cloud has a silver lining for the hotel industry. The volcanic eruption in Iceland has affected as many as 6 million passengers, and many of those 6 million people are in need of accommodations while they're stuck. Hotels in Northern Europe are operating at full capacity right now, and they are beefing up their concierge services to help people find accommodations, usually in other cities. Now, you can find a link to both of these articles in the show's blog post at www.hometravelagent.net, or if you're subscribed to the show notes, you will receive a link to the articles in your email inbox. Well, that's the show for this week. I want to thank you once again for stopping by and listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it has been some benefit for you and your business. And next week, as Laureen mentioned, we will have a guest, and I think you'll find that very interesting because the topic is going to point you towards some educational opportunities. So until then, next week, travel safe, stay healthy, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
gonna holler back, hey. Come on and holler. Want you to holler back. Want you to holler. Just holler back, hey. Let me holler at you. Want you to holler, just holler back, hey.